Today we're going to look at a parable of the Lord Jesus. Now, as a great teacher, he presented a lot of the truth of what he was going to say, what he had to say from God, in this format. Told a story of everyday life, but the story had spiritual implications that were really penetrating to the heart and soul of his hearers. So we're going to look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 16. I want you to think about now and then. More and less. I want us to think about our lives every day that we live. Most of us live pretty wonderful lives. We have a lot of things. We're thankful for them. And because of all these wonderful things we have, we don't always think about God, His purposes, His plan, what He wants to do in our lives. And so we read verse 16, "Then He spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many good goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We start the parable. Seems pretty good. There was a certain man, a rich man, and he had a lot. He was comfortable. Probably a beautiful home. Land. Crops. He liked that. That made him feel good. And you look around you and you look at yourself, and there are many people suffering in the world, but forget about those people for a moment. Let's talk about where you are at. What you're doing with your life. Maybe God isn't so much in your thinking, but you're kind of pleased with yourself and your possessions. And in a sense, compared with other people in society, you're rich. Maybe you don't have a lot of money, but you feel rich, you feel comfortable, and you can even come to this church. It's all right. Everything's fine. Wonderful, beautiful. So what could go wrong? Oh, you look and you look and you saw that hurricane and you say, that's too bad. So many people were devastated. They lost all of their possessions. We read about a lady that didn't have any insurance and she lost all her house, everything in the house. It's devastating. I understand that Miss USA was on television last night. Beautiful girls. Why, this is a great society. Who's going to be Miss USA? Is it going to be Miss Wisconsin? Somebody is going to be. And you sit there and you look and say, these are what shapely women. Beautiful. Now, this is a wonderful life we're living. Some of us spend a lot of time in front of the mirror trying to make the things that are going south go back north. Trying to paint something that looks beautiful. We work with our hair. We change the colors. Now, I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying, we try to beautify this body. You know, even in death, look what we do to the dead body. Well, it's got to be now. It's got to be pleasing. People are going mad about getting in shape. Well, it's all right. You know, some of us, it's hard to spend 10 minutes in the Word of God, and yet we will spend hours on the bicycle. You see people running around this, up and down the hills. You know, I won a bicycle, a $500 mountain bike. I haven't bicycled in 50 years. So what do? I'm not going to throw that bike out. I got to get on the bike. Got to get these fat things gone, all these love handles. I got to get rid of them. I want to get into the exercise field. Everybody else is doing it. Get in there, Bob. Get this body. You've got to be in really good health before you die. This body's got to be really good condition. No flab, no fat. Dr. Phil has a book out on how, you know, get with this whole, we don't like to use that term, but this whole big fat problem. We're very conscious of our body, of this life. And we're like this man. We're never happy with what we've got. And many of us have a lot of things. They're good things. It's nice. I mean, you want your house to look nice, and you want to be in a nice place. Nothing wrong with that. We're very affluent. Now, it's nice to be comfortable. Even as Christians, it's nice to be comfortable. But even in our comfortable pew, do we think about the Lord? Do we think about the afterlife? Do we think about our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? When we have so much, and we have so many wonderful hobbies, well, we'll give God some time during the week. It's because we're living on such a high plane of human existence. Some of us know very little about suffering and need. Some of us don't even care. But this man, he's all wrapped up with himself. Look what I've got. I've got a lot. But it's not enough. I've got so much. Like, I gotta build more. You know, when you go to the computer and you got a 12-inch screen. And a 12-inch screen? I got 21-inch. You 21? I got 27-inch. I mean, the screens are getting bigger and bigger on the computers. How big a hard drive do you have? A fella asked me this recently. Well, I got 30. 30? I got 120. I can put all the Library of Congress into my computer. I can download movies. And you only got 30? You know, when I said 30, I kind of boasted. I got 30. And then he turns, that's an old hat. 3 months ago, it was 30. Now it's way out there. Bigger. Better. What kind of car do you drive? Toyota? I've got a Lincoln. I've got a Porsche. Of course. Bigger. It's better. Except for eyeglasses. They're getting smaller. That's one good thing. They're getting smaller. You know, the big glasses, you can tell where you're coming from, you know. You're back in the 70s. But the little tiny, they're getting so small. I saw a lady in a store, and there were just two little slits. You could see her eyeballs. That's good. At least something's going down. But this man, he began to think within himself, what shall I do? I have so much, but I want more. I want bigger, better. I hope that we don't get all wrapped up in this bigger, better, more. So this is what I'm going to do. I've decided I will pull down these barns, and then I'm going to put up bigger barns. And I'm going to store more in the bigger barns. And believe it or not, many of us are living our lives this way. We're pulling down things that we have to put bigger things in their place. And we're doing the same thing with ourselves, with our understanding of ourselves, even with our reading habits. Bigger, somehow, is better. Because, believe it or not, when you're in this type of thinking, you're only considering this life. Now, go back in time when I trusted the Lord Jesus as a boy, when Gus took us up to camp, and I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I was going on 13. And I said, yes, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, save me. Now, I was only a boy, and I didn't know anything about all these possessions. But the Lord began to deal in my life with the idea that what really counts in life are not things, not possessions, not what you own. What really counts in life is that personal relationship with the living God. What really counts in life is what you can't see, but you know is there. That's so different than the modern man, because everything in this man's life is what he could see. Unfortunately, this affects the believer in his relationship with other people in the local church. It's always what you can see. And sometimes that person who doesn't look the most attractive outwardly is the person who's really in touch with the living God. That person whose life is dynamic because of that relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man is thinking about this life. Notice what he says. And here he makes a tremendous mistake. Very self-centered. And don't make this mistake, please. Because there is within you the real person that manifests himself in this body. This body is important. It's all we really have. We think we're of this world. We were born into this life. And we are human beings. But God came into this life through the person of the Lord Jesus. In John 3, it tells us, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm from above, you're from below. And because you're from below, you only think in terms of the below. But I've penetrated into this life, and I want to take you out of the below and put you in the above. So when I was saved, God did that. And everyone here today who knows the Lord Jesus personally, God has taken you from the below, put you in the above, but he left you in the below. He left you here. He left me here. But now we have a struggle. We want to please all of these appetites and all of the bigness of life, but we realize that does not necessarily please the Lord. And all of a sudden begin to realize we have another set of values, another perspective, another outlook, and this one is upward. Not downward. Upward. It's toward God, toward Christ, toward heaven. But this man didn't have that perspective. And I will say to my soul, and he's not saying to his soul, here is his mistake. He's mistaking his body for his soul. So he says, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But you see, that's the temporariness of life. He was looking at himself and he thought, well, this is what I am, and then just enjoy everything in this life only. Now, I must confess to you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, take the position of this man. That's all you've got. Do everything you have to do now, because one day there'll be a reckoning, but you don't know that. You don't know the Lord Jesus, so you have to take the place of this man. Just eat, drink, and be merry. You only go around once. Some of the beer ads tell you that. Enjoy your life now, because that's all you have. That's all he had. Now, some people may not look at this in exactly the same way. They might be people who are well-read, well-schooled, and so they're going to enjoy the thoughts of men, the poetry of men, the music of men, the art of men, the theater of men. And they seem, well, you see, I have this refined, sophisticated life. It's enjoyable, it's wonderful, but it's going to pass. It's going to be gone. And you may be the type of person who says, I enjoy being alive, and that's enough. But we cannot deny a very important fact. This man didn't see it. God had to show him. There is a soul that needs to answer to the Lord. You're not only a body. You're not only a person of this life. You are part of eternity. You have a soul that God has given to you to respond to him positively. And though your body seems to be okay, everything's fine and wonderful and dandy, I like it, you're going to have to answer to God. And this is not simple. This is serious business now. What did God say to this man? But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? I'm interested, God is saying to you today, in your soul. Because God knows that this is going to pass away. This that we think is so meaningful and so wonderful and so joyous is not the real story, is not the real picture, is not the reality that we need to understand. If we're going to look within, we have to look at our soul. Look at Matthew chapter 10. In verse 28, very solemn words. And I want you to think seriously about yourself before Almighty God. Verse 28 of Matthew 10. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh, wait. No, I didn't come here to listen to this kind of stuff. But listen to me. We have a soul that's going to last forever after this body is gone. And there'll be a resurrection. We'll be resurrected into new bodies. Those of us who have come to know Jesus Christ personally as our own Savior, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, will rejoice forever with Christ in heaven. But those of you who didn't take any thought of your soul and really enjoyed this life and all of its wonders and all of its glories and all of its creative activities and all of the beautiful sunsets and all the wonderful odors of all the fragrant trees and flowers and grasses, and that's where your life was, your soul is going to be required of you by Almighty God. And notice what it says. In this life of humanness, because of what's been happening, 9/11, the terrorists, fear comes into your life and you say, I don't want them to kill me. I don't want the diseases. I don't want SARS to. I'll put a mask on. I don't want to. That can kill my body. And fear comes into your life and you say, I don't want to die. But your fear is in the wrong place. It's not only that you're going to die physically and you're afraid to die and you don't want to die. You have to fear the Lord God Himself. Because He can make your eternity as wonderful for the believer and as miserable for the unbeliever. Because of your rejection. Because of your indifference. Because you won't respond to His call of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Don't fear what man can do to your body. You've got to think about the One who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that destroy doesn't mean annihilate. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in an eternity where there is a continual destruction? A continual pathos? A continual nothingness? Where you'll be cast into outer darkness? Where there'll be weeping and wailing? These are scriptural truths. And when I think of that, being cast into utter darkness, that's solitary. Now the believer is going to be born again, is born again of the Spirit of God to dwell with God with others. But the lost one is going to suffer forever alone. Just a minute. I don't like that. I hope you don't. I hope you think about it. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that there's more than this life? Yes, there is. Wait, are you telling me that I have to face up to who I am before God? Yes. Well, who am I? Now, you're not going to like this. You're a sinner. Wait a minute. What do you mean I'm a sinner? Have you lied? What about your thought life? Have you ever done anything to hurt anybody else? Have you ever done anything that wasn't pleasing to God? Have you never even thought about God? All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. Wait a minute, Bob. Just a minute. I came here. I have a lovely life. I have a lovely family. I have a lovely job. I have a wonderful car. I have a wonderful garden. I have all these wonderful things. And I go to this church every once in a while. And I'm feeling pretty good about myself. What are you trying to do? Upset me? Yeah, I am. The Word of God is trying to upset you. To the point where you'll say to yourself, I'm lost. I need something in this life. Now, I was talking about this car dealer. Al must have presented to him the very simple truths of the gospel. That this man was a sinner and he needed Christ as his Savior. And the man broke down. We were talking about the thief on the cross at our first meeting. A man who was a thief, a nobody. He's hanging on the cross just like the Lord Jesus. And he turns to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Right at his deathbed, so to speak. Now you've come in here today, maybe you, by curiosity or by invitation of a friend, or you like the outward appearance, or you've come here before and you've come in here and you say this is a nice place and these are nice people, everybody looks like they have wonderful things in their lives, but you've never analyzed yourself. You never will make that admission that you have a soul and this soul is going to live forever, and you need to stop short and say to yourself, I need someone. Something. Anything. We're not giving you the something or anything. We're giving you the someone at this chapel. And that someone that you need is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish. As a boy at camp, that's the word that really threw me. I didn't want to die. I hated the thought of death. I loved life. And I didn't know what the answers were, but I knew when I heard that verse from John Clift at that camp up in that loft when he said, Bobby, you will not perish if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what was the key that set me free. Now, you've lived longer life and you have more ideas and more understanding than I did as a boy. And maybe it's hard for you to get through all these ideas and all this understanding, but come to the same place. The one to fear is the one that you are rejecting or indifferent to. Open up your heart to the Lord Jesus. Turn to Him today. Do like that man right there in his truck or car or whatever they were in, and say yes. Do like I did at that camp and say yes to the Lord Jesus. I'm lost. I thought all this that I possessed was making me happy, but I always wanted more. There's always a void. There's an emptiness. There's a need. And you mean to tell me that if I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, I'll be saved? Yes. According to the authority of God's Word. Wow. What does it cost? Do I have to pay something? No, you don't. Well, what do I have to do? Don't I have to try to please God in what I'm... No, you don't. Well, what is God requiring? This is a mighty God. He can deal with my soul in a destructive way. What do I have to do to please Him? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. I don't have to do anything? No. Step back a moment. Think about this. Think about who you are, where you are today, right at this moment. Think about this fact that you are before Almighty God in this little room. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ who went to a cross to die for your sins. Now turn to yourself. This man turned to himself. And he said, oh, I got all these things. Eat, drink, and be merry, and this is wonderful. Now turn to yourself. And don't be a fool. Don't be foolish. Don't lay up treasures in this life. Don't forget for a moment this life. Think about your life before Almighty God, your life that you need to have with Him. And just come in a very simple act of faith. And say within yourself, I need Him. I am lost. I have sinned. I have been foolish. And now I want to open up my life to His life. And now I want to open up my heart to the person of Christ. And now I want to receive the Lord Jesus into my life. Tell Him that. Tell Him that now, where you're seated. and you won't be like this foolish man who just was building, only for it all to be destroyed when he died. For the believer, death is the beginning, not the end. And that's why at many Christian funerals, it's a celebration of life. Because this person who has trusted the Lord Jesus is absent from the body, present with the Lord. Do you have any of that hope? Do you have any of those ideas in your mind? If you don't, just have this one. You're lost. You have need of a Savior. You're going to stop building here. And you're going to turn to the living God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to say, yes, Lord Jesus, save me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know every heart here, every person here, you know why they've come. Now it's possible that someone has come here today, does not have this wonderful personal salvation presented through the Lord Jesus, and you've spoken to their heart, and you want them to respond to your call. And so we pray, Father, that if there is one who needs to find the Lord Jesus as Savior, that that individual person will do it now. And Father, we're going to take just a few minutes of silence before you. That if there is one that would like to respond to the call of the gospel, that in this time of quiet meditation, that person will respond to Christ now. This we ask as we meditate for a few moments in your presence.